My name is Zimi Chu, Dr. Z. With me today is Craig Morris, Senior Solution Architect at Avanade. Thank you for joining me, Craig.
Hi, thanks for having me here, Z.
Today we are going to talk about mobile application development, particularly a few important issues related to application architecture, such as usability, globalization, data, etc. But before we get started, can you tell us what you do at Avanade, Craig?
Sure. Avanade is a global consultancy focused on delivering products on the Microsoft platform to our enterprise customers. I specialize in solution architectures for our customers desiring mobility in their workspace, and I work out of the Washington, D.C. area.
Now, Craig, as I know, you have been working in mobile application development field for many years. What, in general, customers ask you, Avanade, to do? What application do you write?
Well, a few years ago, the focus was really on developing applications for the line of business user. So go out into the field with the device and do some business activity like inventory, inspections, data collection out in the field using the device. More recently, probably in the last 4 years or so, as the cell phone has become converged with the mobile device, customers are really driving into the enterprise space now, looking to write applications, both line of business applications and also applications to more enable their field users. So that user doesn't necessarily need to carry a laptop with them to do their time card or to communicate with their coworkers. They can combine the Microsoft Outlook platform on the mobile device, the OCS tool for communications, with the line of business applications, really create a full suite of tools for use in the field.
Now, in terms of applications, there are really two typical types, web-based applications or web applications, and client applications or locally installed applications. So what's your thought on that?
Well, that's one of the first questions we have to answer or ask when going into a new client is, who's the user base of this application? What types of devices are they going to be using? What are the areas they're going to be using the device in geographically? How do they expect to connect back and forth with the enterprise's resources? And based on those answers to those questions, we can really drive into picking the right device with the right capabilities for communication, form factor for entering data, retrieving data, interacting with external devices, to really hone in on the right device for them. If the customer really is focused on a wide array of devices, some on the Microsoft platform and some not, maybe cell phones or Blackberries that have a browser capability but don't necessarily have the ability to install client-side devices, we start to look more at web-based solutions and talk about ASP.NET and its ability to identify devices based on the user agent. It can tell what device capabilities the requesting browser has and send down appropriate web pages for that device. So it's really, there's a lot of choices to be made and a lot of different factors going to determine what's the right solution for that particular customer.
So for web applications, what are the things you have to do to make them available to the mobile devices?
Well, with today's modern devices, smartphones are capable, say with Windows Mobile 6.1, of viewing full ASP.NET and other web-based pages, and you'll get the full use of the site. But when you go to back-level or older devices like simple cell phones with simple browsing capabilities, WAP browsers and such, you start to have to think about redesigning your site to support the form factor. How many screens are visible, how many lines are visible on the screen to the user, how much image support capabilities do they have. ASP.NET has a lot of great capabilities in their mobile controls to appropriately send the right HTML to the client based on the capability of the device, but you do have to put some planning in place. So for example, if you have a grid in your current application and you want to support a simple WAP browser, then you're going to want to replace that grid with a simple list that you can drill into and show the details behind each item. The screen itself is just not physically capable of displaying the kind of content that a full web browser would be able to display.
Now I move to the client application side. You know, sometimes the devices are connected, sometimes the device is not connected. So as you design, develop applications for those kind of situations, how do you do that?
Right, so our clients often battle with the scenario of if you're on a device, you'd like to rely on a full-time connection to the enterprise. However, the reality of communication today, while we have a very pervasive support for cellular networks, even Wi-Fi in many cases, you can't count on that connectivity always being there, and you don't want your application to suffer because you get an error or timeouts or long delays because the network isn't available when you're ready to actually transmit data. So a general disconnected support model needs to be used where if the connection is available, sure, send the data right away. If not, store it locally, and when the connection becomes available, your application should detect that and send the data at that time. And that connection can also be controlled based on the bandwidth available, other applications that are running, and so forth. For example, with Avanade, we use the ACA devices, reliable messaging tool that we've produced, which guarantees one-time delivery of every message that you produce. You essentially, as you create new data, you store it in a SQL Server database on the device, and that data is monitored, and as the connections become available, the data is forwarded on to the backend system.
Early on, you mentioned usability. Usability is always important for application development, for any application, not to mention mobile applications. So what are the considerations you should put into to enhance usability?
Well, you really have to pay attention to your end user and understand how are they going to actually make use of the device and your application. Are they going to have a stylus? Are they going to often be using their finger to interact with the screen? Are there hardware buttons available for the user that can make navigation through controls easier? If they have to push a button on the screen with their fingers, that make sure that button is an appropriate size that they can easily push that button. If they have to pull a drop-down list on the screen, make sure that list is big enough that when they reach onto the screen, they can easily hit it. Consider staying away from controls where it takes multiple taps to operate them. Create simple controls, lists that you can scroll through with one finger that don't collapse down. If you have to show large amounts of data, consider breaking it up into multiple screens. Always use an appropriate font size. It's a small device. Not everybody has 20/20 vision. Make sure you're using high contrast colors in case they're using the device outdoors. There's a lot of factors that really go in that don't come into play when you're dealing with a desktop.
Speaking of devices, as you know, they become much more powerful, maybe even more flexible. So not only they can do email, do instant messaging, they can do a bunch more. So what have you seen in the industry, you know, different kinds of mobile applications that have been used?
I've seen lots of very innovative solutions out in the field. We've worked with clients to build timesheet systems for remote users, worked with tools to collect data about different geographic locations for, say, positioning satellite antennas. We've seen applications that collect information about for doctors. They go back and forth with a database wirelessly and make sure the patient records are quickly communicated to doctors on demand. We have recently worked more with clients for things like biometric identification. So have people that can quickly identify people trying to enter a facility, or other applications. We use the camera built into the device to take pictures for a historical record of who came and went within a building. I've also worked with clients that want to be location aware in their applications. So they've got an app and they need to enable their field force team to go out and quickly get to a location for a job site for work. And they can take advantage of the built-in GPS or a Bluetooth-connected GPS to direct their field force quickly and efficiently to a site. We've seen things recently with ambulances, for example, that have that capability built in to help them quickly get to a location to rescue people who are in distress. There are lots of innovative solutions out there. There's a lot of third-party hardware are coming into play now that you can tie into your Windows mobile device, near-field communication to identify things that aren't on your device. RFID, of course, is a very popular solution right now. There's barcode readers to quickly collect data from off of your device rather than have to punch in numbers. You can just scan something very quickly. There's applications I've done have printers, so you're doing a point-of-sale system. You can quickly print a receipt and give that to your customer, not have to electronically send them something later. There's other systems that use the cellular communication, of course, to, let's say we use a cell tower information to identify where a particular device is, you know, and can use that information to reallocate assets as needed in large crowds of people and things of that nature.
So with so many different users, different applications, and so you never know, you know, if someone is reusing your application somewhere else, right? So how do you support globalization?
So Microsoft has built in a lot of great tools into the Compact framework for delivering applications that support many languages. The main thing is that the operating system itself can support a large number of languages, and the Compact framework detects what language is being used by that device. By breaking up your application design so that you store the strings that are displayed to your user in resource files, the .NET Compact framework will automatically take advantage of which language is appropriate, it's stored in which resource file, based on what your operating system tells it. So it makes it very easy for a developer to get at least the basic UI into the correct language. You still have to plan for things like certain countries' names are of different lengths, and you make sure that your requirements of your application deal with that appropriately. Very long names in one country might exceed the limit or of your expectation if you just plan for the U.S. Length of names. Character sets are completely different, so make sure your database, whatever storage you're using, supports multiple character sets. Make sure that you understand the difference in simple things like the right to left versus left to right on languages. If you're writing an application that displays in Hebrew, things are reversed as far as how the text flows. So make sure your UI looks correct, you know, when you put those strings up on the screen. The application itself needs to plan for differences in format of dates. Numbers. In some countries, a decimal is depicted with a period. In other countries, you use a comma. Make sure you plan for that. Make sure you don't have code that parses looking for a particular value. It should be aware that, you know, it could be different based on the country you're in. Dates as simple as sometimes the month comes first, then the day, then the year. Sometimes it's day, month, year. So make sure you plan for that as well. For the networks and the regions, as you move around the world, some countries, their GSM network uses different frequencies than what we use. In fact, most countries use different frequencies than what we use here in the U.S. So make sure your phone has the appropriate support, whether it's quad band or whatever you need to meet your application's needs. As you think about moving around the world, you may also think about if your users are based in different countries and they work for a single organization. Do you have SLAs set up with the network providers in those countries? It can be quite a big job if you have, say, 20 countries that you have to deal with, and in each one you have a different cellular provider. You have to have people in place to manage those contracts, get them all in place, make sure that you will have the support that you need when you go to those countries.
Greg, as you know, security and data management is always a very important piece of any application. So how do you go about with the mobile application development?
Okay, well, you have to think about the device itself and first understand, and we're not going to talk a lot about this right now, but access control is number one, right? So these devices could easily be lost. They're small devices, so you have to protect the data of your user from within the application. Windows Mobile starts off by having a policy system that does allow you to set restriction of access through password usage and such. moving past that, as you write data to a SQL Server database, for example, has built-in capability for AES encryption of the data as it's at rest on your device. Assuming, you know, the limited amount of storage built into most devices, you're probably going to be using storage cards, for example, to enhance the ability to store more data. You'll want to turn on that encryption support and maybe even go one step further and turn on the Windows Mobile feature for encryption of all data on that SD card. So if somebody pops that SD card out and takes it and puts it into their PC, that card is unreadable. That gives you that extra level of protection. In addition, when you're designing applications, you should always plan to only bring down essential data to the device. Don't bring down in queries, for example, or in synchronization, large amounts of data that is particularly sensitive but not necessarily needed on the device. By minimizing the data on the device, encrypting it properly, using a channel encryption when you're transmitting data, such as SSL for calling web services, you can guarantee that your device's data is safe both at rest, while it's on the device in memory, and also as it's being transmitted back to your enterprise. Another aspect of application security to consider is as I've worked with customers around the world, there's a movement. It used to be that all enterprises just purchased all of their devices and distributed them to their user. And in today's market, what enterprises are finding is a lot of users already have Windows Mobile devices that are capable of running applications. So they're starting to develop applications and allow their users to download them, deploy them to their device. And one common problem then that occurs is the different levels of security set in policies on devices provided by different operators around the world. So for example, in Korea, they may have a particularly restrictive policy that anytime you install an application, a user has to keep authorizing it, or maybe even can't install it at all if it's not signed by a recognized certificate in the root store of the device. So one of the things you would do to prevent having problems with that is after you develop an application, bring that application to mobile to market from Microsoft, have that application signed. Most all Windows Mobile devices around the world have mobile to market certificates in their root store. Therefore, when you deploy an application to any device, there's going to be no extra prompting and no concerns that that application will be blocked from running.
I'm going to shift the gear a little bit to look at mobile application deployment and mobile application lifecycle management. What has been your experience?
Well, you know, customers have different needs based on the access to the device, for example. Who the user is. Is it a consumer? Is it an internal employee of the company? Based on that, you know, the ultimate goal is to get a CAB file down to a device. That CAB file is going to be run by Windows Mobile. It installs the application as a managed application on the device. There are various mechanisms for doing that. Some involve connecting your laptop or desktop to your mobile device and using an MSI installer over ActiveSync to deploy an app. The more common solutions all involve downloading CAB files to the device via different mechanisms, either push or pull download onto the device and install that way. Once the application is installed, the more complex operation of actually revising that application or patch management of that application is a little bit more challenging. And there are some products out there that are really good at helping you with that. One that I've used that I particularly like is a Sybase Safarius product, which allows you to manage downloads of software updates through channels coming down from a server. Also, Avanade has an application as part of our ACA devices suite that could really help with this. It's called Intelligent File Transfer and allows you to do differential downloads. So if one of the components in your device has changed, we'll generate a diff file between the old version and the new version that the developers have released, put that diff file up on a web server. Your application will check to see if downloads are available on a periodic basis and download just the changes and minimize the amount of data that has to be transferred in order to update your application on the device.
We talked quite a few issues related to mobile application development. So what are the top three tips.
Okay, well, what I would want people to take away from this conversation is, number one, usability. Don't forget who your users are and how they're going to use your application. Number two, don't forget where your application is going. Make sure you know who your carriers are for communications, you know, what the physical environment is like, you know, is it going to be out in the sun and so forth. And then number three, ease of deployment. If your users can't download and install your application easily, they're not going to use it. They need it to be simple. So keep it simple. Make it work the first time.
This has been a great conversation. Thank you so much for your time, Craig.
Thanks for having me here, Z. It was a lot of fun talking about mobile development.